In other words, if you are not on fire for the Lord, you can pray, Lord, set us on fire. But after that, your head must be put to action to make that happen. Amen. I can't believe we fasted for 21 days. Then right after that, my attitude is so bad because you have chosen not to renew this mind.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
All right, last week we were in the book of Acts chapter 9. Today I will still stay there, but move a little bit. We understood from last week's lesson when we saw how Saul became born again. You all remember Saul became born again? Saul, who later on became Paul. And the scripture tells us that when God told Ananias that this is a chosen instrument, Ananias did not shy away, but he called him Brother Saul. Everybody say Brother Saul. It's not very easy to call somebody a brother who you know does not stand for the things that you stand for. This is why we keep saying that it doesn't matter which political party, we still understand that they are souls to be saved. And when the Lord brings them into his fold, we will embrace them. Amen? All right. And last week, we mentioned four things. Let me recap that and we'll flow into the information for today. We said that we don't get to choose our brothers and sisters. You don't choose them. You cannot. This is why at church, you must kill every clique and groups. You don't choose your brothers and sisters. Anybody who is saved, bought by the blood of the Lamb, is your brother and is your sister. Are you guys with me? Secondly, we did mention that no one is too bad to join the family of God. No matter how crazy Saul was, God still wanted him. And last week we understood that God would accept Putin if he repents. He would accept Xi if he repents. Because he's accepted you. Guess what? It is we who make the difference as to who is bad and who is not. God puts us all on the same course. You are either violating his glory or not. It's not how we measure it. Amen? All right. So we don't get to choose our brothers and sisters. It's too bad to join the family of God. Thirdly, we did mention that we owe people. We owe them undeserved mercy. God has shown you mercy. You must show people what? Mercy. Don't go around making it look like you deserve to be saved, but they don't. Everybody deserves to be saved. Now, we said if we're going to walk with this kind of mindset in a culture where we tend to start hating each other and fighting each other, we need to maintain a certain mindset, all right? And we said thinking like this requires a renewed what? Today, I want to pursue that. I want to pursue the concept of renewed mind or changing your mind. And we will use as a subject, don't let it. Turn to the person sitting next to you and tell them, don't let it. Don't let it. You didn't say the way I wanted it said. All right, look at them again. If you are a parent sitting close to your kids, I need you to say this with a lot of meaning. Tell them, don't let it. Why am I saying don't let it? It is very easy to always fall back into what is called the default mode. But don't let it. Don't go there. Many believers have not renewed their minds. They still have their default settings on. So whatever happens, they go back to it. Don't what? Let it. Let's begin by having some illustration. Your mind is like a computer. In fact, the brain is the hardware. Your mind is the software to the human body. The default settings are simply, I'm not a computer person, I'm a pastor. So I put this in a general terms. The default settings is simply basic settings until changes are what? Computer guys, am I okay? As soon as you start making changes for the default setting, because the default setting is what the thing comes in. You remember how when your phone is not working right, you reset it and take it back to factory what? That's default. That's default settings. So it means that the default settings can be there, but you can override it. Right? If you take like a word format, now this is from my computer, you will notice that the default setting, it's right there. As soon as I start typing in, guess what? Everything I type, it doesn't matter how long I type, they will all be in the default what? Fonts. It's called the Aptos. But I personally don't like using it. I like using Book Antigua. Put up the next one. So anytime I type stuff, I would change it. And then the fonts begins to what? Change. But as soon as I turn off or I close that, guess what happens? You will notice that it takes me back to the default settings because the default settings would always pop up until it is permanently changed. Are you guys with me? So for me to be able to do that, I will have to go into the default of the computer and then manually change it and tell the computer finally that this is going to be the default. No more Aptos, but Book Antigua. And as soon as you say that, it will ask you a question. Are you sure? Do you want to change the default of this to something else? Then it gives you a warning. What is a warning? This change will affect all new documents based on the normal what? Template. What is it saying? That until the default has been changed, everything goes back to the default. Many Christians are living life in a default mode. Children, listen to me. When you hold those phones and spend so much time on it, it becomes your default. There is no way you will spend that much of time on it and not become it. You may turn it off for a few days, but it goes right back to the default. Amen? This is a message both for adults and for us. And I have seen many believers. They can pray, but the next second, they will insult you. And you wonder, is it not the same person who prayed? Because they have shifted from Book Antigua now to Aptos. They just moved from where the changes were made. And because they did not save it permanently, they are back to default. Because in the default mode, all of us sitting here, including myself, we can curse. Some of you are saying, yes, you can. You curse privately until the default sentence in here is changed. You keep going back to it. My problem is not the changes we make. And it is also not the changes that you save, because in the original BIOS of the computer, it has the ability to revert to the default again, even when you save it. And hence my title, Don't Let It, because in life, you will be confronted with a lot of things and you will be forced to go back to the default. When that happens, don't let it. Tell the person sitting next to you again, you can't just let that happen. Did you understand that? An alcoholic mother, please listen to me, raised two boys, set of twins. One of them became alcoholic. The other boy never touched a drink in his life. When they were both questioned as to why they have different lifestyles, the child who became alcoholic said, because my mother was an alcoholic. I was raised by an alcoholic. When the child who never touched a drink was also asked, how in the world do you have a parent who is alcoholic and you have never touched alcohol? That child also gave the same reply, because I was raised by an alcoholic. What is the difference? The difference is that one child just allowed the default settings, because once you have an alcoholic parent, chances are you will be alcoholic. The other child decided that he will override the default settings and tell himself, Mama is alcoholic, but I choose not to be alcoholic. And then he hit the buttons, bam, this will be the default of my life. No alcohol. One let it, the other did not what? Allow it. Today I'm going to show you something that is very crucial to our Christian walk. When you read the Bible, does the Bible automatically go into your head? You have to. Somebody got it. You have to let it. I said, when you read the Bible, does the Bible automatically go into your head? You have to. Come on, talk to me. You have to let it. You have to make a decision. I'm going to let it get in there. Else, you can be reading it and it won't let it. It won't go. Some of you have been in this church for many years. You have listened to me preach everything, but you are still in the default mode. Today. Now, look at the next person. Don't tell them, don't let it. Tell them, I am ready to let it work in my life. What is the default settings for encountering a problem? When you encounter a problem, what is the default settings? Get sad. You become afraid. Anxious. Worried. Then maybe just shut down. What is the default for many Christians when they have problems? Number one. If they run to the pastor, it would have been a blessing, because we will help them out. They stay home because they think that if I have a problem, I don't want nobody knowing. The truth is, Satan is good at keeping you by yourself, because that is how he can assassinate you. When you're in the middle of people, they will tell you, any person who assassinates finds it difficult shooting someone who is in the midst of a lot of people. They are careful. when you are in the midst of people, it helps you. Amen. So whenever you find yourself stay home simply because you have a problem, is you are in the default mode. You must override it to be around people. It doesn't mean you should tell them all your issues. But in being around them, there is a level of energy that you draw from each other. Are you understanding me today? When I have a problem and then I begin to cry and worry and think, at some point I need to stop and start typing differently and change the fonts to my behavior and tell myself this is the default mode and I choose not to live in it. Amen. That boy who said, I have not touched a drink because I was raised by an alcoholic, was simply saying that the norm is that if you were raised by an alcoholic, you end up becoming what? But I choose not to be. Don't let it. I said don't, because your mind, your computer, would always try to go back to the default settings. When you find it there, override it and bring it back to where it's supposed to be. That is what renewal of mind is all about. Are you with me? That's what it's all about. Turn with me in your Bibles. Let's look at a biblical story from the book of John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Let's read the first 9 verses. John chapter 5. In this contest, we see a man who, after a while, experiences some troubles in life, had a default, chose to live in the default until Jesus shows up on the scene. Are you in John chapter 5? Reading from verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there were in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which is in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Verse 3, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. So notice the scripture says Jesus went to a Jewish festival. At the festival, he happened to be around the pool of what? Bethesda. Over there, there were several people who always lay there. What was the purpose of the people who lay there? Because we are told that once in a year, an angel will come around, shake or disturb the water, and the first person, everybody say first person, who steps in the water as soon as it is being stirred up, the person is healed. Notice, the pool then became what I call the system of getting better in that society. It became a hospital, so to speak. Verse 5. Now the text zeroes in on one individual. So a great number of people were there, but one of them is one we're about to talk about. One who was there had been an invalid for how many years? 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Jesus, please forgive me, but this is a dumb question. Because the guy is by the pool. So it tells you that he wants to get what? Well. But for 38 years, he could not get what? And Jesus is now asking him, do you want to get? Does it sound right? Until you know this, because Jesus could see beyond the ordinary. And he understood that the man who was lying there had been living in the default mode. Somebody must help me and put me in the water. Somebody. Because the church didn't pray, you could have prayed. Because a few of the people in my growth group did not contribute money, you could have gotten a loan. somebody. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Verse 7, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Notice the next question Jesus asked him. Let's all read verse 8, please, shall we? There was a different system of making him better standing in front of him, but his confidence was in what he already knew. Jesus was asking him, "Do you want to get well?" "Oh, anytime I am trying to get in there, somebody gets ahead of me. This is why I have been there for 38, what? Yes, Jesus is saying to him, "But I am standing right here. And I'm better than the pool. And I can make everything change in a split second." Now, let's continue reading because I wanted you to see what is happening here. "Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.'" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Then Jesus said, "Get up, pick up your mat." Don't you think something is wrong? The guy has never walked for 38 years. And you are asking him to get up. Not just walk. The mat is what kept him there. The excuses that keeps us around the same systems that does not make us better. And Jesus says, "I need you to pick it up. Pick up the excuses. Put it somewhere. And it's time to walk." But he's saying it to somebody who is invalid. Verse 9. "At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked." The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And if you keep reading, you will notice something. He said some people came around and they asked him, "Hey, who healed you?" Because the scripture says after Jesus healed the guy, he slipped into the crowd so he couldn't tell who he was, right? And everybody began to ask him, "Who healed you? Who healed you?" He said, "I don't know. I just don't know." What I want you to see is that for 38 years, the default kind of life kept the man where he is. When you go to college, young people, let's have some chat. And it's about parties. Let's have fun. Would you get a degree? Will you? Why not? Because you're in school. You will be what? But you are living the default life of college. Let's get it started in here. Bum, 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 bum. Having fun, right? What I'm trying to show you is that as long as America decides to live in a default mode, we will not see the power of God. It's the same thing in church. It's the same thing in your life. We must override our computers. I said we must override what? The problem is not in our attempt to override, because most of us try. We make changes, don't we? But they are not locked in. So the computer goes right what? Back. So my problem is not that you are not attempting to make changes. The problem is when the computer goes back, we let it. So let me walk you through Romans chapter 12, where Paul talks about renewal and show you that there are some things prayer will not do. I am not underestimating prayer, please. I pray a lot. But if you pray and you don't override the computers, your head, you will still be doing them. Amen. Are you in Romans chapter 12? I'll read 21 verses, so please go with me. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer. Please underline the word offer. Does that sound like prayer? Does offer mean pray? No. It is an action. It's something you must do. Now, I'm reading these verses to show you imperatives. Imperatives means they are commands. They are things you're supposed to what? Do. There are no options around it. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not, underline that, circle that. So we're seeing that it says offer. That's an action on your part. Do not conform. So that is not prayer. You have to do something. Are you with me? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be. That's another command. Be. Command. Offer yourselves. Do not conform. Be something. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, perfect, and what? Pleasing will. Right? For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think. That's another one you must underline. Do you know what? Of yourself more highly than you ought to. Let's pause for a second. It says, do not what? Think about what? Of yourself what? In other words, don't feel like you are better than someone. But is that not what we do and what we teach our kids? Make sure you are better than everybody in the class. I think it's time for us to show them that you can get better whilst the others also get what? Better. Now, when you pray and you fast, will this stop you from thinking you are better than someone? Will the prayer stop you? It won't. You have to. You must make the decision from here. Do not think. Do not what? What I'm trying to show you is that there's a responsibility that we all need to have by changing, working, making sure that the default settings that says, if I am white, I am better. If I am black from Africa, I am better. Change that default. Are you with me? As long as I am driving a Rolls Royce, then I am better. Change the default. Because I've seen people who are filthy rich and they are always wearing a golf shirt. Then there are some too who they will, you can see it, they have rings on all and they are all gold. Some don't have it, but they have real cash. So you can fast and pray. When you get up, husbands and wife, and you can hate your spouse after prayer, the Holy Spirit won't take it out until you yield to Him. And where does it start? Where does it start? It starts up there. Do not think. So underline that, do not. But rather think of. So all these things are commands. They are things you're supposed to do. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us have one body, I'm in verse 4, Romans 12, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, for one form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your other person say, then let him prophesy. If it is service, let him what? Serve. If it is encouragement, let him. So he does not say these things are automatic. Everybody say, my spiritual life, my progress is not automatic. There is some work I got to do. And it's not always prayer. Did you copy that? Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is what? Hate what is? Did he say pray that you will hate what is evil? He said hate it. It's an act of the mind. you must make the decision that this is evil and I'm not going to like it.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.